Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It is one of the biggest days in the Christian calendar, Good Friday. It's the day Jesus said, "It is finished," with his last breath. And while everyone around thought this marked failure, it was in fact what people in sport might call a hard-fought victory, the greatest victory ever. And with me now to share a couple of reflections on Good Friday, I have an old friend of the station, Father Michael Hurley, who's parish priest of St. Martin's Parish in Talla and also Bornabrina Parish in West County Dublin. You're very welcome, Father Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Steve. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, so, Father Michael, are we sort of a morbid religion to be spending a whole day focusing on the agonising suffering of one human being?
Yeah. Indeed.
Which I think maybe that's a bit of a stark way of putting it.
That's a rather stark way of bringing me in, all right, yeah. Yes, there is a morbid side to it. There is indeed. And when we look at the first reactions at the very beginning, the day of the crucifixion, the day after, he was seen as something as a total failure. A contradiction, a disgrace, and all of those things were said about it by the Jews, the Greeks, and those who were looking on, and it was confirmation that that he wasn't who he was. So there is that morbid side to it.
Yeah, and so
I'm often intrigued myself why we call it Bad Friday.
Yeah,
why we call it Good Friday.
And we do reflect on these words. We read them. And I was just looking. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Father Michael, because I've been looking at the four Gospels, and each of them have an account of Jesus' passion, and they're quite long. You know, they're all between 1,000 and 2,000 words. Which do you think has the longest account, say, between the arrest of Jesus and him breathing his last?
Is it Matthew's Gospel?
You're right. Well done. Yeah, Matthew's the most, Mark's the least. Yeah, but they all, you know, in a remarkable amount of detail, go through, you know, all of this detail of what Jesus went through. So it clearly mattered, you know, and it mattered a lot to the early Christians to record and recall that.
Well, absolutely, and their whole life of faith was going to revolve around it. May I say something else without going off on a tangent? But when I was thinking about this morning, you know, to think of where it came from, and to think of that hard side to it, it has remained foremost in the devotion of people right down the centuries. And today, if our churches were open, we would have full churches for the main ceremonies, plus people coming in to do Stations of the Cross and for their own prayer today. So there is something amazingly attractive about this as a day.
Yeah, and I think it's partly that it doesn't just kind of hit us in our head; it moves us.
It goes right. You're spot on. It goes right into. I suppose to look at it from the morbid side is to look at it from outside, but to look at it from inside, from hearing and trying to relive the story, it touches our hearts, and I think what touches the heart mainly is the experience of love. That here is the greatest love story unfolding. Here is not just a human person, but here is the Son of God in human form, God made flesh. And here he is happy, wanting, willing, no, I won't say happy, but willing to undertake suffering simply because he loved, and he wanted to bring new life. Mm-hmm. So here is the attractive side from the inside. It's the experience, may I use a strange word too, it is the experience of beauty, mm-hmm. the beauty of a love totally given and totally poured out. And we can find our own human examples of the generosity of love and the way people serve and care for especially people in need. So there is that beauty of love that is totally given. And I think that's what makes it attractive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just for you, Father Michael, what does it mean to you? Like when Good Friday comes, how do you try and enter into it?
Every year it's different. But that's what I would say. As a child, I remember it, and it was one of those kind of cold days. It was a day when we fasted. It was a day when there was no work. It was a day when, not that this affected me when I was a child, but it was a day when the pubs and many of the facilities were closed. What does it mean for me today?
They're closed for other reasons this year.
Yeah. What does it mean for me today? It has given me, and this is almost on a human level, which runs into the God side of things. It shows me that Jesus lived in a particular way. He lived, and the stories of the Gospels that you mentioned, it's all about a love story. But there's so much intrigue and political debate and the influence of power being misused from both religion and state coming in upon him. And yet he reacts and responds with immense dignity. Yeah. And he responds in a way that was trying to be faithful to the plan that his father had for him in life. So what does it mean for me today? It is Good Friday. It's looking at situations in my own life, and do I respond out of my own anger, out of my own kind of sense of grievance, or do I seek to be a peacemaker and respect very much the dignity of each human person? I think that in there, what I'm saying is that if we understand it properly, Good Friday, it is actually a call to be a peacemaker. It is a call to be non-violent. It's a call to come to issues and deal with issues through debate and dialogue, and come to reconciliations in that way.
Yeah. Listen, that's really helpful, Father Michael. Maybe just finally, one idea, you know, for people, how to mark Good Friday today.
Can I very quickly maybe give one or two, give maybe an extra one or two?
Okay.
One is, you know, we talk about the stations of the cross. Today, think of the stations of the cross in your life. Some experience which was immensely and deeply painful. And look back on it and feel its pain. But more importantly, did life emerge from it? Did it make you a better person? Did it draw you into a greater dependence and trust in God's love? Now, maybe not, but generally it does lead to new life. Just go to a station of the cross in your own life. Secondly, I would suggest, because life can be complex, and because so much comes in on us when we read those gospel stories and when we think of Good Friday, go for a walk in the countryside and ask God to give you a meaning, an insight into the meaning of Good Friday for you this year. And or else, if you don't wish to go for a walk in the countryside, maybe sit in somewhere and have a time of silence, wondering about what God is saying to you this Good Friday.
Spirit. Now, today is Good Friday, a day Christians around the world recall the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. We try to kind of live out the drama of these great events. And Good Friday is not the end of the story, but it continues and reaches its dramatic punchline on Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But what if the resurrection never happened? That's a conversation I had earlier today with the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce, moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Dr. David Bruce, you're very welcome to Spirit Radio.
Thank you, Stephen. It's a joy to be with you.
So you're in your Easter message, you talk about a conversation you had with a friend of yours who's skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a conversation that has been ongoing for years, of course, because this is a very old friend of mine. We've known each other pretty much all our lives, and we've talked often about faith and different aspects of it. But he's a medical doctor, obviously scientifically trained, and from time to time we'll talk about miracles and the supernatural, and that's been fine. But the resurrection always presents him with an issue, and I felt that we were coming to a kind of junction in the road in our conversation when this was raised.
So this is specifically the resurrection of Jesus.
It's the resurrection of Jesus, the teaching that we find in the New Testament, which clearly says that on the third day, Jesus came back from the dead.
Yeah. So really, this has sort of been a stumbling block for him, because I suppose being a rational man, a scientific man, I think you said he just says, you know, in my experience, people don't come back from the dead. But it's true. It's a challenging question, isn't it? And like for you, like, does the Christian faith hang together if Jesus didn't rise from the dead?
Well, Stephen, I recalled my days in theological college, and I mentioned this story also in the Easter message when a tutor in one of our classes put this question to us directly. And she said, look, if an archaeologist were able to prove that they had dug up the bones of Jesus, that it was in a tomb in Jerusalem, through various means of testing, it was proved to be his, would that affect your faith? And she put the question directly to me. And as a young student, I was kind of put on the spot a bit in front of the class. But my answer would be the same today as it was then, and which was that yes, if such a thing was proved, then I would no longer be a Christian, because that's how central the resurrection of Jesus is to Christian faith. It's God's big yes to everything else that happened before.
Yeah, so it's really, this question has to be confronted. You know, we can't get around it. And even kind of just thinking back to, you know, it's Good Friday, thinking back to in Jesus' day, they were looking for, you know, looking towards a powerful king, sort of in the mold of their great kings, David or Solomon, you know, lots of trappings of power. So Good Friday was a total failure in their eyes.
It appeared to be that way. And you would look at Good Friday just telling the story objectively, and you would say, well, I can understand why all the disciples ran away, and I can understand why all the women were weeping, and I can understand why everyone's heads were down. And indeed, I can understand why a couple of days following, the disciples locked themselves away for fear, because I suppose they were, you know, concerned that the same thing that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them.
So then that all changed because of the resurrection. Basically, none of this would make sense without it.
Well, this is the thing, Stephen. I think the resurrection kind of closes off the story and opens up another one. So was Jesus' death on Good Friday a failure? The resurrection says emphatically, no, it wasn't. It was actually the necessary part of the journey to take us from where we were, which is in sin and darkness and death, through to a new place, which is characterized by forgiveness and hope and life. And that's the journey between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So in describing it as God's big yes, it's God's big affirmation that what he was doing on Good Friday was successful, that Jesus was indeed God the Son, that his death on the cross was indeed a place of sacrifice for sin, where we could know his forgiveness when we trust in him. And the resurrection proves it.
I was just thinking as well about the whole thing of people's expectation of what a great king would look like. And even we kind of talk about the Easter kind of showed, as you say, the start of a new story. But in some ways, it's still, in terms of worldly perceptions, it must have seemed underwhelming or confusing, you know, for those who expect, you know, who still kind of think that greatness is to do with trappings of power, you know. And we kind of have this story on Thursday, you know, about Jesus, you know, dressing like a slave and washing feet and things like that. It's just a total sort of different paradigm. But he did usher in a kingdom, isn't that right? You know, do we have evidence that Jesus is a king, you know, that Jesus' kingdom has transformed the world?
I think that's a great and important question. Let me answer it in two ways. The first would be to look backwards and to try to interpret why there was this confusion about who Jesus was and what his mission came to accomplish. Because within the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, we do have diverse stories about the expectation of the Messiah. He was, on the one hand, to be the Son of Man. He was to be this extraordinary human being who would come. He was also, curiously, to be like a servant who would suffer. But he was also to be the great king. So you have a king who was going to be a ruler and yet a servant and also would suffer. How does all that tie together? Yes. So these apparently contradictory stories in the Old Testament were difficult to understand. But 2020 vision in the rearview mirror, you could say, Stephen, but as we look back, we can see how these threads of the stories were indeed woven together,
yes,
not only in the life of Jesus, but in what he did and what happened to him as he was crucified. He did indeed suffer. He acted like a servant, like a lamb to the slaughter. And yet, in coming back from the dead on Easter Sunday, he demonstrates that he is indeed the king, and the king who rules and reigns, not only over us as Christians, but over the whole of creation, so that he is God's, as it were, tangible footprint on earth. He is the evidence of God's presence among us.
Yeah.
And Christians worship him. That's really what they're saying, that God has not remained silent and aloof, but he's come alongside us and lives our experience with us.
It's been absolutely fantastic to talk to you today about the whole kind of significance of the resurrection, the meaning of Easter. We're still in the grip of a pandemic. How is Good Friday and Easter looking for your congregations all around the island of Ireland?
So we have 540 congregations scattered all over the country, north, south, east and west. And of course, you'll be aware that on both sides of the border, there are different regulations in place. In Northern Ireland, we're delighted that from Good Friday, we're able to worship face-to-face, albeit with the same restrictions, 25 people in a building, socially distanced, etc. And we're just praying on and lamenting that in the south, that is not yet the case, but trusting that it will be soon and that the mitigations that are put in place, the vaccinations that are put in place, will gain enough traction to allow us soon to get back together again.
Yeah. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you, Dr. David Bruce, moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Spirit.
Now, Rebecca Fitch is an alternative pop artist from Belfast. She's just released a new single, which has been added to the Spirit Radio playlist. It's called Loose Ends, and it carries a powerful message. I talked earlier to Rebecca and asked her where the idea of Loose Ends came from.
I first heard the concept in a sermon that I listened to in church one time, and the whole imagery behind it was life being like a tapestry, you know, that metaphor where on one side there's all of these different threads that have been woven together to form a complete picture where you can see how every thread is intertwined and purposefully put in its place to make something complete and beautiful. But on the other side, all you can see are these loose threads hanging down. It's total chaos. You can't see what thread is attached to where. You can't see what the picture is supposed to be. And so often that is what life feels like. And I resonated with that. You know, we can't see how everything's working together, but there is a grand design. There's a creator who has planned and mapped everything out and knows how all of these tiny threads are weaving together to make something beautiful.
Yeah. You had kind of mentioned that you had heard about this image around Corrie ten Boom, and particularly with her story. You know, this is a lady who kind of lived in a concentration camp, and, you know, her father and sister, you know, well, her sister died in the concentration camp, her father died, you know, shortly after arrest. So massive suffering in her life, and she kind of used this metaphor as a way of kind of putting some context to her life and making sense of the suffering. Do you think that's a strong theme in the song, the way you see it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the first opening lines of the song are, how do you make sense of it all? You know, the loose ends and the questions. If I could understand one more thing, I'd ask the unknown reason for this suffering, because, you know, I'm always making observations about how people perceive faith and how people perceive the world. And the biggest question that people seem to have is about suffering, right? And we can't make sense of things. And so I feel like with Corrie ten Boom, if she can find peace from this imagery and this poem, then how much more can we find peace?
Yeah.
But I think, like yourself, it strikes me that also people who struggle with just the mundaneness of life or not knowing if their life is achieving anything will also get encouragement from this song.
I hope so. I hope so. And I think, you know, this year especially has taught us to relish in the small things and the little things in life that we can find joy in. And that's what has been sustaining us. So I hope that, you know, I was so passionate about getting this song out at this time, and I didn't want to hold back and wait until the music industry was back on its feet or there were fewer releases going out. But actually, I was so passionate about getting this song out at this time because I feel like that's when people needed to hear it. You know, this mundaneness of life is really taking its toll on us at the moment because there's so little dynamicism in our life right now. There's so little like big events or anything. It's just about keeping going and trying to sustain ourselves. And I think remembering that those quiet parts in our life are still just as important because that's when we have time for self-reflection. And whenever we're bored, that's when our minds, you know, run wild and come up with new ideas that, you know, that space that we haven't had to dream in before actually becomes really valuable. And so whenever our lives aren't consumed with loads of emotion or loads of events, actually we have more space to be bored and imagine and daydream and come up with awesome things. So hopefully it's a call to action in that side of things as well.
So Rebecca, today on Good Friday, we remember the suffering of Christ. Do you think the metaphor that you've used holds true even in Jesus' case?
I hope so. I mean, I definitely believe so, because for the people, his friends and family that surrounded him at that time, they had no idea what was going on. They had no idea
how. They certainly didn't have the big picture.
Exactly. They didn't know how all of this was going to work out, even though he'd told them time and time again. But they didn't understand how this thread was going to turn into something majestic and beautiful and be the salvation for us. You know, they were completely in the dark there. And so I think, yeah, that's a great example of how the tapestry image reflects on Good Friday.
Rebecca Fitch, many thanks for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. It's been a total blessing being on. Thank you.
That's singer-songwriter Rebecca Fitch, and this is the song we've been talking about. It's called Loose Ends.
How do you make sense of it all? The loose ends and the questions that have you up against the wall. If I could understand just one more thing, I'd ask the unknown reason for this suffering. Darling, your life is like a tapestry you gaze upon from underneath, but all you see are threads and strings hanging loose so you can see.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.